snow is beautiful, but when you got to drive in, and I've had three or four meetings canceled on this trip alone. We've been in two ice storms. One in Missouri, there was an inch of ice on the road trying to get down to the youth revival that I had, and we drove about 30 miles an hour for 4 or 5 hours on ice. That van out there is rear-wheel drive. It's a one-ton, you know, no weight in the back. I had all the kids and everything piled in the back of the van. We had the trailer packed to the front of the tongue to just try to keep it on the road. Amen. So I've had enough of it. Amen. But probably because I complain so much is why we keep getting hit in the face with it. Amen. And so when I get shut up and start listening to the Lord, maybe he'll quit throwing snowballs at me. Amen. But I do have a new prayer card out back, and along with, we put the banner up, and I'm sorry I'm late. I ran and fixed a tire. We blew a tire on the road. And it seems like I'm always running too fast and doing too much at one time. But anyhow, we got a new prayer card. Quick update, I'm still saved. Amen. And I'm loving it. Amen. And I'm enjoying the ride. I'm 44. I turned 44 in December. And I'm over half dead. Hallelujah to God. I don't want to live to be 95. You can have it. Amen. If I make it to 70, 70, I'm over halfway there. You're not going to fear me with heaven. I'm ready to go. Amen. And young people, the Bible's true. Amen. And God's real. Jesus Christ is who he said he was and much, much more. I know him better today than I knew him when I met him April the 7th, 1991 in Keflavik, Iceland. And it's just like it happened yesterday. It's been a wonderful ride. I've been saved 22 years now, over 22 years, 22 and a half years. And I tell you, it's wonderful. Amen. And my beloved wife sitting back there, she's still with me, thank God. We've been married 22 years. She was my first convert. You all know that. We're both from right here in Jasonville. Went to Shackamack High School and squealed tires and misbehaved around here, as you know. But anyhow, I'm thank God I'm saved now. It is a great privilege to have my mother-in-law here tonight, and my sister-in-law Amy and her youngest son Andrew came in. Thank God for that. Appreciate them coming. Amen. But what am I doing now? God has opened the door. I'll be honest with you. I've begged the Lord for years to turn me loose and let me do youth evangelism wide open. Now, he's not done that, but I do get to do about a half a dozen now youth revivals in Arizona, New Mexico, Arkansas, and then Alabama, two in Alabama. And three. There's a third one now up in Birmingham. But I love it. Amen. I'm a junkie. I love to preach. I love to preach behind bars with juveniles. I tell you, there's a preacher friend of mine that's been begging for help. He's 60-some years old. Brother Turner's been preaching for 35 years and to juveniles and adults, and there's nobody, you can't find anybody. It seems like the juveniles are a forgotten thing, amen? Seems like once they go behind bars, everybody just forgets about them, even worse than the adults. I'm 17 prisons. What they're doing now, they're building the new facilities. They're building them all over the country, way surpass public schools as far as what they're building. They're starting to put the juveniles in the same complex in the prisons, but they're segregated. They're still under the same yard and building, but they're all in the same place now. And then if they've been tried as adults, like what I'm fixing to tell you in Tennessee, Northwest Reception Center, I got the privilege, I got invited, Brother Carl Sutherland, he's an old mountain preacher there in Northwest Tennessee. I'm preaching in his camp meeting now, and he got me in. I got trained in Tennessee, took the training while I was there. We have to go once a year now. It's well worth it. And I got a badge to get in the juvenile centers in Tennessee now. Now, I'm telling you, it's something. Their juvenile centers are in the federal penitentiaries, most of them. And I preached to 20 kids. It'll break your heart. Now, some of them were soaking wet 100 pounds. Now, I'm telling you, they're in there. The least amount one of them was facing was 9 years. They've all been tried of adults. They're all, as soon as they turn, I put it in my last prayer letter that you finally got, amen, after your pastor rebuked me, and rightly so. You'll be getting another prayer letter as soon as I get off the road next week, amen. But I needed that, amen. I'm not above correction, amen. I'm telling you, I preach it, so I better take it, amen. But anyhow, I preach to those kids, and I'm telling you, when they turn 12:01 on their birthday, a.m., they marched them kids out. The guards told me it's like one of their big things to scare them. I don't know what they do it for, and put them in the big house. So you know what they're going to do to an 18-year-old kid that's a Jeep in the prisons. They're going to run them over, and it's a shame. That's America. We're shot. His country's shot. Now, I love this country, but you got your head in the sand if you think she's getting better. You come talk to me. I'm all over the country. God has allowed me. Since I got arrested and came out of the deal down there in Panama City, we've got to go everywhere. And sin is rampant, and it's amped up. I've been saved 20 years, and I mean it's quadrupled in 20 years. I'm talking to kids that are on crack cocaine at 8, 9 years old. Don't you tell, I'll tell you, amen. I don't care what they say in the statistics. I'm out there doing it. It's awful, amen. It's awful. And they ain't even old enough to be not playing with tractors. But you know how it is about the media, where we're at in this country. At your disposal on a cell phone, you can go anywhere in the world at the flick of a hand, or the button. You can see anything you want to see and destroy your minds very quick. So you young people know what I think about all that. And I know where y'all stand. You better stay away from that trash. Amen. You will destroy your mind. Amen. I can tell you right now, well, anyhow, 17 prisons between Florida and Alabama, juvenile prisons. I told you about Northwest Tennessee. Please pray in Mississippi. Why I've been on the road. We've been on the road almost 2 months. We're fixing to go back. And there's a place in Walnut Grove, Mississippi. And these prison Bible schools that our pastor handles, but there's 56 schools. You say, what's that got to do with me? Well, what they've been trying to do, a lot of times that'd get us in the door. And they're trying to condense the school down to a one-year deal. Well, anyhow, this one black chaplain, it's a black lady, it's a chaplain over this 1,000-bed juvenile prison, Walnut Grove, Mississippi. She called and said, I want some of the material. And preacher said, okay, we'll send you a packet to look over. And she said, no, I want the whole thing. We've already gotten state certification. Your school is part of the curriculum. Taxpayer money. Which gets me in to not only get schools in there, which I'll deal with. I'll do what I got to do, but I get to preach to them. Amen. And so I'm telling you, pray about that. That's brand new door in Mississippi just taking place. First one we've ever got to get into like that. So please pray about that. And like I said, Alabama, I'm mainly in Alabama, all over the state of Alabama now, from top to bottom, as many places, and there's 17 of them. So like I said, I'm having a blast. I'm getting to do 3-day revivals, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday behind the bars. That's something new in the last couple of years. And just like they build churches just like this. They spend your tax dollars well in them prisons, amen. They got pianos, the state-of-the-art sound systems, everything. And they teach them folks how to run all that stuff. And you go in there and preach to them 3 days in a row, just like a revival. I'm a junkie, man. I'm telling you, I'll die behind the bars preaching to people. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, young and old, I'm just going to do it, amen. And I'm not going to wait. There's too much to do, amen, too much to do. The one got canceled. That's why we got messed up coming here. And the wardens, they didn't like that. It's picky. I mean, you got to put your stuff has to be right. You know, 2 and 3 months before you come in. I don't know, the chaplain, something happened. The warden said, we ain't doing it, and he canceled it. So that's why we ended up extending our trip. I went in over into Ohio. The Lord opened some doors, so there we are. And my son got to preach on this trip for the first time. He's preached at home for Pastor and Mark, my 17-year-old, and he's a fine preacher. Amen. I stole his message. I'm too lazy to copy it down. I said, I want to Xerox your message. Amen. And I'll re-preach it and tell him I did it. Amen. He did. He preached a wonderful message on God's call. And I'm telling you, that's why I tell the kids, I'm trying to tell y'all, okay, I blowed my brain out. I was 21 when I met God. You hear me? I wasted 21 years of my life. I know I was a little tight, but let's say 15 at least. So you guys you've got the world by the tail. You're saved. You're in a clean environment by the grace of God. You haven't fried your brain. Hopefully you're not looking at trash, listening to trash, getting involved in junk that's going to corrupt your mind. So you guys can do far greater than what this preacher's ever tried to do. And that's like I told my son, I watch them preach and they do it like it's so easy for them. You understand what I'm saying? Because he ain't dealing with all the stuff I'm dealing with. I'm telling you now. So don't ruin your life. We got enough of that going on. Anybody can be a punk. They're a dime a dozen. Every town's got punks. And God knows I can't stand them. Amen. I'm called to preach to them, but Amen. I just don't like kids disrespecting adults and all that kind of stuff. You know how I am about all that stuff. I just think it's right, you know. Amen. Anyhow. So there's an update. Like I said, we're having a blast. We've got our youth revival coming up that I preach in Alabama at our home church. It's 3 days. It's a youth camp. It's a blast. Amen. Looking forward to it. But please pray for us. We're running 100 mile an hour, and I'm very thankful to be here tonight. I think of that verse when I was driving on the road about that importunity, where that lady kept bugging the fire out of that judge, and he finally got tired of hearing from her. Amen. Well, I've done that to him enough. He's finally felt sorry for me and let me come in here. Amen. But I'll take what I can get. You know what I'm saying? But anyhow, we're spoiled here. Y'all are fine folks. You know that. I brag about this church all over the country. So you better live for God, or you'll make a liar out of me. Amen. And so you better keep toeing the line. Amen. and communicate to one another and get over the little things. Amen. Just work it out. If a bunch of drunks can bar fight and get along the next day, surely we can do better than that. Amen. But anyhow, I want to interest you in some books. The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. You probably don't know what that is. Amen. Everybody in here better have already read that. Amen. I've preached that all over the country. The new one he put out on the courtship, done preached it all over the country. Stole everything in there and then some. I'm telling you the truth now. Those books are phenomenal. They're the best practical. And I say it, you can ask my family all over the country. I've done this and put them books out. And then the new one on biblical masculinity is a gold mine. Off the top of my head right now, I've got 6 messages already. Just a young man about David, the chapter he's got on David about killing the giant. I got a message on that. Out of Ezekiel chapter 37, the Valley of Dry Bones, I got one wanted dead or alive. I've preached it all over the country. Amen. And I'm sitting here thinking in my head, the making of a diamond. I came up with a message out of that book on that. What's another one, Mom? I'm trying to think. I've wore them things out. Well, I was going to preach one tonight, but I'm not going to. I got something brand new. But I think there ought to be required reading material for every home in America. Amen. Matter of fact, preacher, if I could come back tomorrow and get a few copies. I got that preacher, Brother McFadden. He's a 70-year-old man of God, holy man of God. He wants a copy of every one of them. He's hooked on them. They've done your play, Stay in the Castle. He's done it 2 or 3 times. Loves that stuff. And then my preacher, I'm going to get him the rest of them he don't have. And they've done the play. Our preacher. Oh, by the way, I got my pastor's oldest daughter here tonight. Megan, she's 23. My pastor's got 8 young'uns. Amen. She's been on this trip with us. Been wonderful. We've had a great time. Amen. So let me read you something now. You got any questions at all for me? Anything at all? Hell, amen. That was easy. Praise God. I ain't got much trouble. I'm trying to stay out of trouble. I really do. I really do try to stay out of trouble. I've on this trip, there's been 2 or 3 occasions I've gotten into small, verbal altercation where people are, and I give them the gospel. I try to before I leave, but I just don't do well with people being rude to people. Folks being disrespectful to older folks. If they do it with me in public, I'm going to say something. Amen. I'm going to say something. So we've had a few of those, and praise God, I'm ready to go home. I just want to stay out of trouble. I told my family, I really don't look for trouble, y'all. But it seems like every time I turn around, something's going wrong. I told the Lord, just please get me back to Alabama and just everybody leave me alone. Amen. And anyhow, let me read you something. I've read it here before, but I read it everywhere I go. This is from 1820. This man lived from 1820 to 1902, and his name's Robert Sheffy. He was a Methodist circuit riding preacher, buried in Kentucky. Been to his graveside. He was old school Methodist. Ain't nothing like what you got going on today. There ain't nothing. This fella would roll over in his grave if he saw. They preached the gospel. They believed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Those men preached it straight, but they've changed. But here's a quote from him. God never forces his will upon men. He calls them unto himself, but if they will not follow, then they must go their own way. Every time we give up a part of our faith to try to fit into the ways of the world, we lose it forever. We lose a precious part of God's promise, sacrificed to the world. And the world will never give it back. And someday, when the world tells us we can no longer have our religion except where they say, and God is driven from our schools, right, we're there, and our government, and our homes, then God's people can look back and know that our religion was not taken from us. It was given up, handed over bit by bit until there was nothing left. That was a direct quote from him. He was a prophet and didn't even know it. Because God's void in the schools outside of a cuss word. He's void in the government for sure. I'm sure there's a few saved men, but they're hard. And if they're saved, they don't tell nobody they're saved. You know how it is. And it just drives me crazy. I'd love to go up to their prayer meeting or preach to Congress for about 45. I wouldn't, 10 minutes. Just give me 10, 5. I'd love to preach to them for 5 minutes. I'm telling you, it'd be like a 105-millimeter howitzer. I'd load that thing hot, buddy. Yeah. Amen. Go to Job chapter 24, if you would, please. I'm not going to be long. I really ain't. And just 3 simple things tonight. I want to just take a few minutes, try to encourage the church. Out of priceless landmarks in your life, everyone sitting here tonight has got some landmarks in your life. And I just want to mention three tonight that y'all did not let go of. And go to Job chapter 24, priceless landmarks. Job chapter 24. And again, it's wonderful to be here. Megan, we told her all about the church, and it didn't look like it was going to work out. And really, I almost sounded like a double-minded man calling every other day telling preacher, well, schedule change again. Well, we're here and we're to and fro and we're here and there, and I ain't sure where we're at, to be honest, preacher. I'm still on the road running into snow and everything else, but we're here, praise God. Thank God we're here. Amen. Chapter 24, verse 2, the Bible says this. Job said, some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. That Bible says some remove the landmarks. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 19 and also chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 19, talking about landmarks. This country's full of them. Everybody's got some in their life. And they're waypoints, if you will, in the military. They use that word waypoint when they're trying to find their way. And they're waypoints to find your way back and to remind you of what God brought you from. Amen. Or where you're at in your life. Sometimes you'll get into some storms and trials and tribulations, and if you're not careful, you'll start wondering, Lord, where are you at? And sometimes you just need to find a landmark and latch on to it and hang on for dear life till the storm passes over. Amen. But Deuteronomy chapter 19, the Bible says chapter 19, verse 14, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance. There's some of that in America. You say like what? Well, the Ten Commandments. Now, you already know why they want to remove the Ten Commandments. Because they all up there cheating on their wives, and the wives are cheating on their husbands, and so they don't want to go down the hallway and be reminded that thou should not commit adultery. Say amen. I know what the deal is. Folks don't like a book telling them what to do. They don't like nobody telling them what to do, and they sure don't want a God. If there's a God, then that means you're going to be held accountable someday down the road when you die. And see, that's what ticks people off. Because they don't want to be told how to do anything. They want to do it their own way. And if there's a God, that means you're going to be held accountable. Well, the Bible says, as it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. every knee is going to bow. That's what Paul said. It's going to take place, including Elvis and the rest of them. Amen. And they're going to give an account to the Lord. And so that's why folks don't like these landmarks. It's why they're trying to take them away. You know, the Capitol and the United States Capitol has King James Bible scripture. I said King James. You know, the good old-fashioned Elizabethan English they stopped talking that way in 1200 A.D. So they'll lie to you. These new Bibles will lie to you and try to tell you that it's outdated language. Well, that's because nobody reads nothing anymore. They're too watching the boob tube too much. And so what happens is they get told in their hearts and minds that, well, we should change this because, no. If you'll study the issues out, it's real simple to figure out, like a kindergartner could figure it out. They stopped talking that way about 1200, 1250 A.D. You can check me on all this stuff. That's God's Bible written the way God wanted it wrote, and it don't need no help from nobody. Amen. There's power in that book. It converts the soul in Psalm 19, verse 7. That's God's Bible. That's my spiritual mom. According to 1 Peter 1:23, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth. You say you believe that's alive? You better believe I believe that. I'll stop preaching if I didn't believe that book was alive, young men. You better get something. That's one of my landmarks, that King James Bible. You hear me? Amen. You ain't taking that Bible from me. Nobody's taking that Bible from me, including the government. Amen. It's done in my heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's the Bible. Amen. The King James Bible. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And, anyhow, we're talking about a landmark. Now go to chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. And thank God for landmarks, priceless landmarks. The Bible says this, chapter 27, verse 17, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say amen. I say amen. Yes. Leave your neighbor's landmark alone. Amen. Okay, look at Proverbs. Two more places and I'll give you my 3 points. Proverbs chapter 22. Both of these are in Proverbs. Chapter 22 and chapter 23, right next door to each other. Priceless landmarks. Amen. America's full of them. We got a rich heritage, wonderful heritage. And those our forefathers were much more than deists. That's a lie. They rewriting the textbooks and trying to tell everybody that they didn't believe in God, that were deists. No, you're a liar is what you are. And you're listening to the devil and you're trying to change our what our forefathers wrote. And listen, the textbook in English class in the one-room schoolhouse used to be a King James Bible. I mean, it's just the way it is. I didn't start it. God did. Listen, America chose God. God chose Israel. America chose God. Whether they like that or not. Amen. And you don't got to go very far to figure that out. I mean, the Capitol building, the United States Supreme Court, the highest court in this country, the doors. Have you ever seen them doors? They got the Ten Commandments on them doors. I'm talking about our superior court with them bunch of heathens on there and that board. Amen. And I know what the deal is. They're trying to change the judges out and get them all liberal because they're life appointed so they can rewrite history and rewrite rules of engagement and laws that make us more liberal in this country. You know how I feel about it. If you don't like the way it was started, go somewhere else. Amen. It's a free country. You can go to China. Amen. I'm sure they'd love to have you. Amen. I bet you this, so you'll be a Chinese when you go. You won't go to China and tell them how to run their country. Ain't that funny how that is? Only in America, the melting pot of the world, multiculturalism, destroying our heritage. Amen. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you got to, you know, we talk about liberty, give me death, or, you know, what's his name said that? I can't think of it now, where he's give me liberty or give me death. That's the liberty to live right. You read the Constitution. It wasn't your liberty to go be a practice witchcraft on Thursday night. That's not what they're talking about. They were talking about a liberty to be able to serve God, the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, the God of all the universe. You had a right to serve God and live clean and right, be accountable. No, that's anyhow, I got to stop all that. I'll get sideways for sure. Amen. Aggravating, man. This is my mission field, though, America. I love America. We get in a big engagement. And they need old folks. I'm going to war. You can plan on that. I'll volunteer. I'll be the first one in line. Amen. You know, they did it. The Revolutionary War, the preachers fought. All the congregation went up and took arms. Yeah, say amen. Anyhow, I love this country that much. Of course, I know this ain't home, but it says in verse 28 of chapter 22, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. There you go, young people. Your daddies have set some things. I know this is talking about the Old Testament here, but y'all, I tell you, on a practical sense of the word, your daddies have got some landmarks in y'all's lives, no doubt about it. And you know what they are. They're there. Every family's got them. You better have some anyhow. Get you some, amen. Get some from your preacher, amen. Till you get your own, just hook up to his bumper and find some, amen. That'll help you out. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even I also am of Christ. I'm not a man worshiper. I know what the Bible teaches. But there's no doubt a real godly balance to that thing. Listen, there's nothing I don't do that my pastor I don't let him in on. What am I doing at the house anyhow? What is it that I'm doing that I can't let anybody walk in my house at any time? See, that's the deal. Folks are up to something. That's why I don't want nobody in their business. Well, my business is God's business. And God's business is the preacher's business. Amen. That stuff don't bother me. I got too much military. I mean, we had to answer to everybody. Keeps you out of trouble. And all to the counselors are safety. Amen. Anyhow. You don't know how bad that's in our country now. Boy, I'm telling you, the rebellion's up. There's a great rebellion in this country going on. A lot of lone rangers, including preachers, running this country wide open. No submission to local church, no submission to their pastor, running wide open. Amen. Doing all kinds of crazy stuff and blaming it on God. Anyhow, man, it got quiet. Amen. Listen, even Lone Ranger had Tonto. He didn't run by himself. Amen. Folks are funny today about stuff. Anyhow, I want help. I'm not smart enough to figure everything out. I need all the help I can get. Amen. I mean, I call folks. I had a financial question when I was on the road about something, trying to deal with something back home. I called Pastor. Said, what do you think about this and this? And he's brilliant about finances. And he said, well, this, and this. I'm like, wow, why didn't I think of that? But that's why I called him, you see. Amen. Anyhow, chapter 23, look at verse 10. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the field of the fatherless. And of course, now, if you would, I'm going to give you a definition. Now, if you will, go to Acts chapter 20. I want to read you a definition out of the 1828. It says this about a landmark. A mark to designate the boundary of land, or any mark or fixed object, as a marked tree, a stone, a ditch, or a heap of stones. by which the limits of a farm or a town or other portion of territory may be known and preserved. Okay? Now, why? Let's go over to Acts chapter 20. I want to say my first landmark tonight is this, and that's King Jesus. That's the Savior. You say, my. You say, well, why would we have to preach on that? We're not going to remove him out of our life. Well, you know, I'm telling you, I'm running into people all over the country that say they're saved and got the same Bible you and I got, and they don't tell nobody about nothing, and nobody knows. It's like incognito Christianity. Everybody's so afraid to tell folks why they believe what they believe and stand on what God's done in their life. Amen. Now you're looking at a satisfied customer of the grace of God. April the 7th, 1991, Keflavik, Iceland, 57th Fighter Interceptor Squadron. On that Sunday morning, about 12:15, little afternoon, I met God. The preacher was preaching out of 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, 12, and 13. And this is the record, that's your Bible, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you what? May know. K-N-O, it's a no-so salvation. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I got born again. I repented of my sin. I had enough. I flew up the white flag of surrender. You already know I was wearing a pair of bib overalls, red flannel shirt, and a pair of Wolverine steel toe work boots to church that day. I didn't have no church attire. We didn't go to church. I grew up with four stepdads and one real dad that got killed when he was 27. The way of a transgressor is hard. He met God when he got electrocuted over there in Sullivan, Indiana on May the 23rd, 1974. I've got the death certificate at home. He got shot with 7,000 volts, worked for PSI. Well, it's changed now, I think, the name. But anyhow, he met God that day, was lost. You hear me? My daddy's in hell burning, been there for, and I'm not excited about that, but he's been there quite a long time now. Too long for me to want to go there, and I ain't going there. But I met the Lord, young men. You looking at a rebel that grew up without God, running wide open, doing what I wanted to do, running over people, worried about me. And when I met God, I got in, honey. I'm telling you, I got a double dose. You ain't got to coax me to come to church. It's a way of life. This ain't a social hour. It's a way of life. Do you hear me? That's what the Bible teaches. See, we live in a Bible-dirt society. And Amos told us that there'll come a time in the land in chapter 5 of Amos that there'll be a famine, not of bread and water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. Whether it be from a preacher preaching to them or when God's trying to talk to them when they read the Bible. Nobody reads nothing anymore. Or a society that don't read no books anymore, including God's book. So we got a Bible illiterate country. And they make all kinds of sayings and doctrines and teachings that ain't even, you couldn't find a Bible with a laser beam and a flashlight. But that's what we're doing in this country. So I got saved. I didn't need a hot dog. I didn't need to be told twice. I was up there in Iceland. The wind averages 40 miles per hour every day. You learn to walk 12 degrees forward. They had hardened little shelters you stood in from the weather. Buddy, I was waiting 15, 20, 30 minutes early to go to the house of God. And I'm telling you, I fell in love with my little old preacher, little 5'4", sawed off shotgun preacher, brother Johnny Wright got trained up at Hell Zeitlers. And I mean, he was a fire-breathing dragon. And I'm telling you, I got in. I figured you'd jump all the way in. And I've never looked back. I was a little crazy when I first got saved. I mean, you think I'm crazy now? You should have seen me when I first got saved. I'm not the guy you take soul winning. Because I didn't give him grace. I didn't. And I don't, it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. But I'm just telling you where I'm at. So I'm saved. You ain't talking me out of that. I'm telling you, as sure as I got a marriage certificate proving I got married over here at Lawton Street Christian Church, I think it was, right, baby? I done messed it up, the Methodist Church. Now, see there? Thank God I'm still married. It don't affect that, amen? But you know what? I got a certificate to prove it. You know how else I know I'm married? I was there when I got married. Well, you know how I know I'm saved? I was there. I'm a witness of my own testimony, just like Paul was in the book of Acts. You know what? Listen, when I first got saved, a water dog, you know what that is? A guy that believes you got to be baptized. They can't even pronounce baptized right. Anyhow, then you go back to school. This guy was an EA. He was a senior master sergeant. We were off duty. We were mopping floors. I came in. I got saved on Sunday. Monday night, I went to mop floors. You say, what was you doing? Like he teaches finances. I was fixing to get married back there, that little old guy in the back. And I had my heart set on getting married. So I was saving up money. I blew $6,000 on her honeymoon. Buddy, I'd do it again tomorrow. There ain't nothing like getting saved. There ain't nothing like marrying in the will of God. Man, I'm a believer in that. I'm telling you. So anyhow, listen, I come in, told him I was all bouncing around. Man, you talking about a God-cussing monster on Sunday? Got right with God, came in, and I had a step in my, and I was just a carrying on. I didn't know no Bible, didn't know no verses, but I knew I was saved. And I'd fight you over it, okay? And the guy said, what's your deal? I said, man, I got born again. He said, you what? This guy taught a Bible study on base. I didn't know nothing about water dogs, you know, Church of Christ. Go ahead and put it in there and bust them in the head, amen? He tried to tell me I wasn't saved. He said, you've been baptized? I said, no. What's that? He said, you ain't saved. I said, well, let me say something here real simple to you. I got saved yesterday about 24 hours ago, and I was there when God saved me, and the Holy Ghost of God moved on the inside. And if you tell me one more time I'm not saved, I'm going to show you I'm saved, amen? I don't know what you got. I don't care what you got. I know what I got, and you ain't taking that from me. That's just the way it is, amen? So that's a landmark. Jesus Christ, he's King Jesus. You know what it says? You went to Acts chapter 20. You know what it says over there? Acts chapter 20 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves over all the flock, which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You're sitting in here lost tonight. Jesus Christ, King Jesus, my landmark, my personal uno number one. Amen? Amen. God Almighty saved me. He's Savior. He's God. He's God according to John chapter 1. He's Creator according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, up to about verse 19 down through there. Amen? I'm talking about my God. And I know him personally. King Jesus. He's a landmark. Don't you young men be ashamed of him. Go ahead and tell the whole world who he is and what he did for you. Amen? And listen, the sooner you get over that, I was lost 4 years in the military. I was saved 8 or 9. I worked with some of the meanest, nastiest, God-cussing, wife-cheating. They did it all. They drunk. They fought hard. Men loved the country. But I was in the middle of that mess. And I've had preachers, we get in arguments. They say, well, I don't believe anybody should join the military. And I understand you. You need to do what God tells you to do. We're back to the will of God. You find out if God wants you to sweep floors the rest of your life, you better sweep floors. If he wants you to be a dump truck driver, you better drive a dump truck. Amen? If he wants you to go to Bible school, you go to Bible school. It's that simple. But I'm telling you, you're looking at a man that was in the military, a saved man. And they didn't tell me what to do. I told them. They want to tell their jokes? I rebutted them. Oh, yeah. Right to their face. Amen. I mean, we went at it. I'm not going to let them run over me and be a sissified Christian. Amen. That's why we got naked billboards all over the country and everything else, because no one says nothing anymore. Amen. I'm not talking about being ugly to people, but you can stand up like the Lord did and tell them. And I'll tell you what I found out. When I just went in the next day at work and said, look, I'm done going to the Rock, the club, and getting drunk. They said, you what? I said, I'm done. I got born again. Oh, you got religion. No. I don't know what you call it. I got saved. I'm done. Y'all leave me alone. I'm done. Took a stand. Told them. Amen. Makes it a whole lot easier. I lost some good friends, you know, that week. But hey, I met a better friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. I'm talking about King Jesus. You know what it says? And look, if you will, go to John chapter 8. King Jesus, thank God for the landmark that he is. He used to be a landmark in his country. They've gotten rid of him. He's nothing more than a mere cuss word to most people. There are a lot of folks that believe he's a good man. I believe that. There's a lot of folks that believe Jesus Christ is a good preacher. I believe that. A lot of folks that believe he was, you know, a good carpenter. No doubt about it. The best carpenter this country and this world's ever seen. But he was God. And that's where everybody falls off the ship. He was God. And if he was God, and he is, then that knocks out every religion in the world. They're gone. They take a second seat, lost. See, that Bible preaches two ways, a goat or a sheep, the right hand or the left. You're either saved or you're lost. There's no other way to boil it down. If you drop dead here tonight, you're going to face God to be absent from the Bible, to be present with the Lord. That's for us saved folks. Or otherwise, you're going to go before God and be judged according to that Bible, Revelation chapter 19, chapter 20, and death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's where the lost men go. I didn't write the Bible. Don't get mad at me. God wrote it. By the way, that young man, my life verse, when I, Matthew 23:33, when I first got saved, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You all were laughing. I had a wild verse like that. Probably doesn't surprise you. When I was in Bible Believers Baptist Church in Parker Floor, when I first got saved, me and my wife were brand new, newlyweds. We didn't know nothing. We were so crazy. And I'd go to church and raise my hand like a little kid. He'd ask for your favorite verse, and I'd quote Matthew 23:33, and they'd all laugh and stuff. They thought that was crazy. But, you know, amen. It's the truth. The Lord spoke that. Amen. So King Jesus, I told you to go to John chapter 8. This is what the Sadducees and Pharisees, the religious crowd, that's who hates our God. Most of this world, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They're clueless. But this religious crowd, that's who doesn't like the Lord. Amen. And they got a problem with him, what the Bible says. But in John chapter 8, it says in verse 42, the Bible says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Well, you read down through chapter 8, they accuse him of being a fornication. They blast him. Boy, they got so mad at God there. I'm going to tell you something. Well, that really ticks him off when he tells him he's the great I am before Abraham was I am. Boy, that gets in people's goat, man. See, that's just like when you live to be 60, you know, 70, 80 years as an Old Testament Orthodox Jew, and then here comes a man in town and tells you everything you're doing's wrong. I'm the Messiah. You better come through me or you're done. So that makes people upset. What's wrong with this world? See, they want to run the show and they don't like the Lord telling them what to do. And that includes salvation. So I like to say unto you, first of all, tonight, King Jesus, he's my Savior. Amen. One more place. Look at Revelation chapter 19. I love this verse. This ain't happened yet, but it's going to. And I cannot wait. Amen. I'm telling you, when the Lord rolls in town on that white horse, and like I've told you before, I'm supposed to get one by the grace of God. If I don't, I'll run. I'll have glorified legs. I don't care. I don't mind being the rear guard. I'll bring the back end up. Amen. And keep everybody away from everybody. Amen. But I am looking forward to this right here, Revelation chapter 19, and it says in verse chapter 19 and verse 13, and he was clothed, y'all young men ought to memorize this if you hadn't done so, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Boy, that's my God, amen. Ain't nothing like it, amen. Okay, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords in verse 16, amen. I'd like to say, second of all, I'd like to say, look at this, not only King Jesus, he's my Savior, but the King James, that's my sword, amen. Go to Psalm 138, verse 2, and I've already ranted a little bit about this, but I'm a Bible believer. I'm not against school, but I tell you, and don't throw me out for this, but I think your pastor is perfectly qualified. He's probably too busy anyhow, I'm sure all of them are. He's perfectly qualified to train everybody in here, amen. And I'm not against going off to school, but you better make sure it's God's will. Because it creates a void in your local church. And then if you're not careful, you'll go off and think you're smarter than he is when you roll back in town. Amen. With a trumpet under one arm and two or three Bibles under there, you know everything now. No, you don't know anything. Most of what he's learned from trial and error and hoeing the corn out here from sun up till sun down. That's where the real ministry is. Schools, you just get a bunch of book work and look things up. I know what it's like. I took home stuff. I took Brother E-Step stuff, Charity Baptist Bible Institute. Do you know where I've learned my Bible these last 22 years? From getting in it every day. First John, letting the Holy Ghost of God teach me something and getting a hold of some good old-fashioned books to bump that Bible off of. Say amen. Don't you ever let a book go rise above that old book, amen. Even Baptists can be wrong at times. Say amen. And I is one. I think Baptists are first class. I'm not a brighter. God knows I cannot stand them. Amen. But I'm telling you, we're going first class. Amen. Amen. You couldn't find back to Tertullian, back 50 years after John died, you got Bible believers in history. We're not Protestants. Now that really ticks people off. I'm not a Protestant. I'm an independent Baptist. We was around before the Protestants ran, before Martin Luther and the rest of them dropped their nightgowns and their backwards collars, you know, that mama's supposed to wear when she goes to bed. Are you listening to me? My crowd was already believing the book. Well, they don't like that, amen. They're all going back home to mama. Read Revelation chapter 17, 18, and 19. They're all going back when this thing winds down. Not me. I didn't come out of that crowd, amen. I'm a Bible believer by the grace of God. I'm talking about the King James Bible. Look at Psalm 138, verse 2. This is a great, great, great verse. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's pretty important. I say to you young men, the book of Psalms, the center part of Psalms, chapter, 170, oh my goodness. Which one is it? It's got the 119, 176 verses, chucked full of the Bible, about the Bible. The heart of that book's about the heart of the book. God's heart's in that book that he wrote to you and put in your lap there tonight, young man. That's God's love letter from the third heaven. And really, to be honest, it's a Jewish book. Us Gentiles got in on the grace of God, that God loves those old Jews. And he wrote it in English, the language of the world, the common language. Look at that. It wasn't an accident. You go to any foreign country and they have to learn English in the public school. We're the only country that don't make them learn when they come here to speak English. All you got to do is pick a telephone up and let them call you. What'd you say? Click. I don't even talk to them. I'm not even going to talk to them. I'm an Englishman. I speak English. If you want to live in America, learn to speak English or go back home, amen. You know what that proves about that King James Bible? It's an English Bible. It's got no copyright. You can print anything. I'm not talking about the study helps and stuff you got in the front and back, but you can take from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 and print that off with nobody's permission. Library of Congress. It's the best seller of all time. Look it up, King James Bible. I'm talking about the Bible, the King James Bible. Let's get it right. I don't even like King James Version. My Bible's not a version. It's the Bible. In the English language, it's called an article, like the word the. It's the Bible. Put emphasis on it. Amen. That's what I believe. Amen. And I'm telling you, you ain't taking it from me. I'm going to die like that. Amen. Take my Bible with me. Like Brother Roloff said, I believe I can go to heaven with the King James Bible under my arm and I'll have to apologize for one word in it. And I say, amen, Brother Roloff. He had it right. Talking about the King James Bible. Amen. You know, I sit and think there's so many verses. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, the word of our God shall stand forever. My word is pure unto them that are, all my words are not plain to him to understand, the right to them that find knowledge. He that feareth the commandment shall be, forget it, I can't remember. It's Proverbs 13:13. I've lost that one in my memory bank. We'll maybe come back to it. You know what Moses said in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy in verse 2? You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. And he reminds us again in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. A lot of liars in this country writing new Bibles. And then you go back over to Revelation chapter 22, right there at the end. He rebukes you again. Reminds, and I can't remember it anymore. I've lost it in a bank. But it's over there. Three times, front, middle, and back, he reminds us and warns us, young ladies, to leave that book alone. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made. It was made. It drops down to verse 14, and it says in John chapter 1, and the word became flesh, and we dwelt, and somebody help me out, among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's my Bible. That's my spiritual mom, and I already told you in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It's the Bible, old King James Bible, amen? That's God's book. No apologies about it, amen? I started out with a new King James Bible. Then I got right with God and got a King James Bible. They rewrote that thing in 1979, 80, and 81. You know the story. They're trying to make a buck off of God. That's what they're trying to do. Everybody trying to make a fast buck off the Lord. Let me help you all out. Take any outside of the new King James Bible, and I'll be done, do my last point, and I'll shut up. Daniel chapter 3. There's not a church in this town that I'd be willing to bet on this. And I'm not a betting man because I was never good at it, and I don't do it now for sure. Amen. But every church in this town, their Sunday school material is going to teach that Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace, the story. Everybody knows about it. The fourth man in the fire was Jesus Christ. Well, it says Son of God. Now, the King James Bible says, look it up, chapter 3, verse 25, the word, the article in English, the, capital S, Son of God. It's a capital G, God singular. Who's that? Jesus Christ. All your new Bibles, change it to a Son, little s, of the gods, little g, plural. Yeah, I got no time for them. That's where I start and that's where I finish when I talk to people. I'm not going to tangle with people about the Hebrew and Greek. I've got into all that stuff. I know you got to learn it to prove the King. I'm not, whatever. I'm going to get it where the rubber meets the road and where everybody's living at. Okay, and Goliath, you know who killed Goliath? David did. They all teach that. They're correct. But the new Bibles say Elalaham killed Goliath in 2 Samuel 21:19, I think it is. And the King James Bible has italics in it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That makes it an honest translation. You know, the idiom change. We're not getting all this high-tech stuff because I'm a dummy. I'm a hog farmer, amen. But those were places where they couldn't find, and they had to fill it in with italics. That's, they let you know. You know what they found out since then? Take 1 John, I think it's chapter 2. It's the longest spot in the King James Bible where there's italicized words. They found manuscripts since then that match it to the letter of the law. I'm going to tell you it's God's Bible. I'm telling you, them 54 translators, them King James translators, they were holy men. Most of them could speak 6 and 7 languages. They prayed for 4 and 5 hours a day. You think I'm going to listen to these? They had a lesbian on the committee of the NIV. Are you listening to me? I ain't going to listen to none of it. I'm not doing it. Not getting on that train. I'm sticking with the pure word of God that every revival in America in the 1800s, the Great Awakenings you learn about, they were all done with the King James Bible. Every one of them wasn't one that wasn't. Say amen. Amen. That's God's Bible, young men. You got it in your lap. Don't let nobody take it from you. Say amen. I'm telling you now, that's the King James. That's my sword. Okay, last of all, let me say this. So you got the Savior, you got the sword, and then you've got the shepherd, and that's King Jerry. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 real quick. That's the local church. He's the under-shepherd. Now we all, this is kids' stuff. But it's being undermined all over this country. Now I thank God for my pastor. He's my best friend, literally. Brother Powell is my best friend in the church. We hang out all the time when I'm with him. I try to do anything I can. He's younger than me. He's just a little bit younger than me, a couple years too. But I'm just telling you, he's my preacher. He's the man that came to jail when I was locked up. He's been supporting the work that I'm in, the boys' home and all of it. Brother Maynard still supports Brother Maynard, all of Brother Maynard's boys. Aaron's taken over for me, Brother Buddy's youngest son, Aaron. I've told him to come through here. He's a fine man. Brother Buddy's three boys are top-notch. They're all married to good ladies. They all got kids now. I mean, God's done a work of grace in that family in spite of what we went through. And Aaron's really replacing me. He's going to be Brother Buddy's right arm as far as the boys' home. Amen. And he's a good man. He's a perfect choice. I've always said that for years when he was growing up. I've known him since he was born in the hospital. Amen. Anyhow, he's on the road now on deputation to replace me down here at the boys' home. So God's got a wonderful choice, and I say amen. But, we're talking here about the church, and, you know, listen, the church is my second home. And listen, folks, really this church is made up of many churches, little miniature churches. You men are the priests of your home. And, you know, really what I hate to even call it a job because it's a call. It's not a job. So bear with me. But what you do at the house should be what the book teaches. So when you come to church, really, it just mirrors what he's going to do anyhow. So it makes his job a lot easier, his life. That's why all the preachers are dying of heart attacks. Amen. I don't want to be a pastor. And y'all are fine, folks. Don't take this wrong. I'm trying to encourage you to keep going. But there's no perfect church. If I walked in the building and I done messed it up. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you don't communicate, and the preacher church I was just at, Brother McFadden's, they had a church split about 7 weeks ago. He lost 30-some people. Old man was crying. He's in his golden years. It was over standards. Yeah. Well, it was wrong for 20 years, and all of a sudden it's not right. It was wrong, now it's right. It's all over the country. It's ate up with it in this country. That book's plain, man. And it's so plain, that's why we don't like it. And I don't like it. There's a lot of it I don't like. But I didn't write it. It's God's book, and I'm going to try to submit to it. We're talking about your preacher, this church. He's the under-shepherd. You better thank God. It says in 1 Timothy 3:15, talking about the church, that you ought to know how the last part of that verse, how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's talking about a building. I know there's a universal church. We're all saved in the body. I'm not talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about blessed hope. Baptist church where y'all meet at, you fellowship, you preach, you teach, you pray, you have a blast, all that good stuff that goes on here for years and years. What, 38 years now, 39? 40. See, I'm behind the power curve. Started in a garage, am I right? Yeah, I've got his daddy's book he wrote, and I believe she wrote one too. That's good stuff. I preach a bunch of that too, amen. I'm just telling you, you know, it's wonderful. Proof's in the pudding. All his kids are serving God here. I'm pretty sure. I see him all over the place. You got three brothers, two sisters. Is that right? Two brothers, one Okay. You know what your third generation? His kids are serving God. Am I up to three, or is there any grandkids yet? See? That's how it's supposed to be done. Amen. Timothy, read chapter 1, verse 5. Paul said he took note of it. He talked about let's read it, man. Go over there to Timothy chapter 1, and I'll be done. I'm almost done. I'm talking about the shepherd, the church. You better thank God for your preacher. You better hang on to him. You say, I don't like what he does. I don't like what I do half the time. Listen, if I stayed here for a month, I'd do something to offend somebody. Not on purpose, probably, but that's how we are. Get over it. Pull your thumb out, take a half a baby aspirin, communicate, say you're sorry, and go down the road. I mean, Christians are babies, man. There's guys getting out all over to come over with stupid stuff. You're what? That's not even worth fighting about. I'm talking about stupid stuff, man. You ain't going to tell me. I used to go to the liquor. When I was in the military before, I said we'd go to the clubs all over this world. I went to six foreign countries. We'd go bar hopping and act like wild men and fight and get in trouble with foreigners and get up and apologize and go on the next day and start over. And then we get saved. And you know what ticks this preacher off? When I was lost, I can remember just like it was yesterday. I go to Holman Air Force Base. I was still underage. I went into the liquor store there, and just listen to me. I was selective, young people, in the kind of liquor I bought. I didn't go into there blindfolded. I spent my money very smart as a lost man, as far as I thought. You listen to me? I was very selective about the type of liquor, the color, the bottle, everything. And then we get saved. All of a sudden, everything's acceptable. And nothing matters anymore. It's like we get a lobotomy. We throw out all the standards and we act like we can just live and let go. No! Not at all. I mean, God set the church up. He gave you a pastor. You got deacons. There's a framework. It's everywhere you go. The world has the same stuff. You got a boss. You got supervisor. You can't get away from it. Everywhere you go, somebody's got to. Listen, you ought to thank God. And then to have a preacher that's like y'all got. I didn't call him, tell him what I was preaching. He'd have told me not to do it. Well, I didn't do it, amen. You got a shepherd, you better thank God for him. You got a church. And listen, Hebrews chapter 13, y'all know this stuff. I already know you know all this stuff, but let's look at it real quick. I want to encourage y'all to stay with it. I know I've said wore out the word communicate, and I'm sure he tells you the same thing. Whether it's at your home, whether it's your Sunday school class, whether it's the church, the whole church, the big picture, small picture, communication is uno number one. You want your marriage to survive, y'all better talk about everything. Better not harbor nothing in your heart. Listen, I get ticked off at everybody all the time. You probably don't believe that. I'm always aggravated at somebody. I'm trying to get right about that. I constantly am having to tell the Lord I'm sorry. I get mad at everything and everybody, okay? But you know what I've learned? I had to learn. Get over it. Everybody's not me. It's okay, thank God, amen. But listen, me and my wife, 22 years down the road, we've had squabbles. Best part's making up. But you have to communicate. The Bible says, the Lord said, my son, give me thine heart. He wants your heart. Your parents want your heart. Why? Because it's communication. If they've got your heart, they got all of you. What the God wants from us, amen. And if God's got everything, you'll get along. Listen, if you don't fight, you got problems. You're not a real man or a real lady. But it's not that you get into a squabble. It's what you do with it when you get into it. Fix it. Talk about it. Don't get mad and go off for 3 days. You know, you get mad Wednesday night. Come Sunday, you're ticked off. You come in there and you see brother so-and-so, and in your heart, you're like, I'm sick of that sucker. We do it. And what you should have done is what you should do is just man up and say, look, go, can I talk to you a minute? I didn't like what you did, man. What's your deal? And fix it. If you don't, the devil's going to get in. I'm thinking of two families right now that are out of church in the last 6 months. We've known them for 20 years. Got aggravated over stupid stuff. Totally out of church. And I'm telling you, I don't want that. And I know me, and I know how I am, so it really makes me appreciate folks putting up with me. Boy, it'll keep you humble, amen, when folks, because I know how I'm geared, and it takes a lot to put up with me. And I wish it wasn't so. I try to work on that stuff all the time, but I tend to keep running 100 mile an hour, and I have a tendency to run people over without not trying to do it on purpose. But, you know, you just got to learn to communicate, man. I'm telling you. talk to each other. Well, Hebrew, I told you to go to Hebrews 13. If you want to hang on to what you got at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you better guard it with your life. If you want to hang on to the power of God, liberty to preach, ain't nothing like having liberty to preach like I have tonight. That's not by accident. You do know that. That's contingent of all you folks working together, praying, keeping short account with the Lord, praying for one another. Amen. I preach in churches all over the country where you gotta take a four-wheel drive and plow through the air to get anywhere. Now, I'm just telling you, liberty's precious. Liberty in the Lord and God the Holy Ghost being able to move amongst people is precious. It's a priceless thing. It's priceless. Better hang on to it, young people, church. Yeah, we're living in the last days. You know it's not going to get easier. Folks are going to hate what you do here. You might as well say amen. And that ought to tell you something. You're doing something right. If everybody drives by and they're all soupy and they think that y'all are the best things that's ever happened, you better check up. Because something is wrong. Amen. Anyhow, I'm just not going to change, young people. Lord's done too much for this preacher. I fell in love with this book. God put me in a church. I didn't know nothing about church. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. But when I got in 22 years ago, I got in for the long haul. And King Jesus is my Savior. He's my landmark. That King James Bible is a landmark to me. It's my spiritual mother. Nobody's going to talk about my physical mom, and they sure ain't going to talk about my spiritual mom. And I love that old book. That book's kept my marriage together. When I got arrested, you listening to me? My old preacher down here in Florida used to tell me, one of these days you're going to go through something, you're going to live in Psalms. And I used to think, yeah, he's crazy. He just preaching. See, that's what preachers do. He ain't know what he's talking about. He knew what he's talking about. When I was sitting in that jail cell and facing 55 years in the penitentiary for something we did not do, I don't care what this country says, I was there. I know what was being done to those boys. I had independent Baptists accuse me up north, and I'm not going to tell you, so don't ask who. They accused us of sodomizing the boys. Put it all over the internet. If I wasn't saved, I'd have went up there and spent a week, followed them around, watched what they do, get their pattern down, put on some gloves and a ski mask, and I'd have talked to them for a little while. And said, you ever say that again about that preacher without talking to him face to face? You don't know me. You've never talked to me. You won't pick the phone up and call me. But you can be a tough guy and get on the internet and run me down. Why I hate Facebook. Why I hate Twitter and YouTube and whatever else they got going. You know, you take YouTube and Twitter and MySpace and you get you twit face. You cross them. All that stuff does, and some of our folks in church have it, all it does is make people, see, here's what happens. In the old days, you wrote letters to people. We've gotten to the place where there's no emotion in them computers. If you're not careful when you text, there's no emotion. And you will word something, it'll take it the wrong way. Why, I'd soon pick a phone up and hear a human voice. Keeps you out of hot water, amen? I'm just telling you, trying to keep you out of hot water, amen? Anyhow, let's read 13. I got to shut up. It's 8:15. I'm done. It says this, obey them in verse 17 that have the rule over you. Now, God wrote this, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So listen, if we're going to rebel, if I'm going to rebel against my pastor, it's my neck, not his. If all he's doing is trying to help me and I don't like what he's saying, then it's just on me. God's not going to hold him accountable. Amen. I've been saved 22 years. Ain't been a preacher yet that said anything to me that hurt me. Never. Never. Even crazy stuff. Who cares? When I was lost, we used to watch all kinds of stuff on the boob tube. They'll cuss you out. They'll do all kinds of stuff. We don't care. But when we get saved, the only one that don't get a free pass is the preacher. Oh, yeah. I know how it goes. We'll let anybody trash us, bash us, run us over, cuss at Walmart in line, cuss God, run him down. And we're sitting there listening to everything, the dirty magazines that you walk by and the naked women, this, that, and the other, everything, we just roll. But you let the guy get behind the pulpit and say something we're doing wrong or something you need to tweak or build up, and all of a sudden, well, who's he think he is? Well, who do we think we are? I'm just trying to encourage the church. I'm not here to, you guys are a blessing. You're one of the best churches in America. Don't let it go to your head, amen. It's a blessing, amen. Stay with it. Stay doing what you're doing, amen. Okay, I got to shut up. It says this. Then look at verse 7, the same chapter. Verse 7, the Bible says this in chapter 13. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. There you go. Considering the end of their conversation. Yeah. You better consider it. Amos said this, thus saith the Lord, consider your, or Hosea, I'm sorry. He said, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. You better listen to that stuff. That old Bible's right. And I want to close. The last thing is this. Go to Revelation. And while you're turning to Revelation chapter 3, I want to quote to you 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Okay, you got a good thing going here. You hang on to it. Hang on to it. I said hang on to it. Don't change. Don't change. If anything, amp it up the other way. You know, when you're going to straighten a stick out, you got to bend it long ways the other way for it to come back to neutral. Amen? So keep bending it. Amen? Don't back up. Jasonville needs a light. A lighthouse of truth that's got it gun barrel straight. Amen. Just stay with it. Amen. And it says this in Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 11. Look what the Lord said. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So I say unto you young people tonight, hold on to King Jesus. Hold on to your King James. And pray for your preacher. Hold on to King Jerry. Lift Jerry up in prayer, his family. And I know you all do. I'm just trying to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. Amen. And listen, don't back up. Don't change. Don't be a double-minded man that's unstable in all his ways. Don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine whereby they lie in wait to deceive with cunning crafts. With cunning crafts whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Don't do it. You young men, stay with God. You young ladies, stay with God. Stay clean, stay pure. Wait on God to find you a mate. Amen. You'll kick your heels up like Dorothy does. That's a dumb show, but anyhow. You know, Dorothy jumped up in the air and kicked them glass slippers together. You know what you ladies are going to do if you wait on God? And you first time you touch that man's, when y'all hit the altar and that daddy gives up his little girl, which I'm not looking forward to. It's not going to be a good day. You'll be thanking God that you stayed right. And you can start off with like a drag. I was going to preach on dragster Christianity tonight. Just put her to the floor and don't look back and serve God. Amen. Same thing with you boys. You're just as important. Stay clean. Stay pure. Keep your nose in the book. Quit your whining and complaining. Learn how to work. You done dealt with it in the biblical masculinity. Don't be a limp-wristed sissy. Work. Sweat a little bit. It's good for you. Stay out of the air conditioner. Go outside all day. You know, and get sweaty and nasty and smelly and stinky. Amen. Maybe skip a shower for a day or two. You know what I'm saying? And work. Work from the little up. Work. Keep your nose in the book. Stay on your knees in prayer and work. Be a man on purpose. And look like a man and talk like a man. Amen. And then someday you can start your family and train some more right after you to follow the Lord. Amen. It's that simple.